I appreciate those who have come back tonight. I mentioned this to the church several years ago. I think that we need to think about having our evening service about 3 o'clock, because evidently if you give people 4 or 5 hours, they forget to come back for the evening service, most people anyway. And so we might need to think about having it about 3 when it's still fresh on their minds. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings in the 18th chapter. And I want to share a thought with you tonight from this. And I'm going to try to move along here and not take up too much time. Brother Jackson has something that he needs to share with the church tonight, and I want to give way to him to do that. But I want to talk about Elijah the prophet here for a few minutes. And Elijah lived and prophesied in a time that Ahab was the king of Israel. And Ahab was a very wicked man. He was an extremely bad king and an extremely wicked king. And we know that not only by his actions, but by something that the Bible says directly about him. In the 16th chapter of 1 Kings, in verse 33, the Bible says, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." And so, during his reign as king, he angered the Lord more than anybody had. And Elijah, on the other hand, was a prophet called of God and a man of great faith. And we find in the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, in the opening of that chapter, that Elijah, the Tishbite, Elijah the prophet, that he went and he said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And so he prophesied to this wicked king Ahab that there was going to be a great drought, that things were going to get very dry. And we really, no matter where that you're at in the world, I mean, we really depend on the rain. And so Ahab knew in this that what Elijah was talking about, certainly was not going to be a good thing. And the Lord told Elijah what it was that he wanted him to do. Now, Elijah, he was a man of great faith, and he would obey God in what God told him to do, even though that the things God told him to do to the carnal mind, to the logic of man, those things really didn't seem logical to the mind of a man, I'm sure, but I think when the Lord has just made it known that there's not going to be rain, and the first thing he tells you to do is go hide by a brook, I think anybody would think, well, how long is that going to last? If we don't get any rain, how long is that brook going to have water in it? Because God told Elijah basically that his plan was, when he, go hide yourself by the brook Cherith, and I'm going to, that's where I'm going to place you to sustain you. That's where you'll get your water, and I'm going to send the ravens. I've commanded the ravens to bring food to you. And so We know that, as the Bible tells us, that, you know, the brook did dry up. And then God's plan for him was to send him to Zarephath. He said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. You know, he got there and found out that she didn't really have the means to sustain him. But Elijah, being the man of faith that he was, he placed his trust in the Lord. And I believe that widow woman placed her trust in the Lord too. And God provided for them. And so here you have as I said, you have a very wicked king. One that the Bible says has provoked the Lord to anger more than any of the other kings that had been before him. And he had a wife that was even worse than him. She was even, I think, more evil than he was. And then you have this prophet who's a man of great faith and obeying whatever the Lord tells him to do. And so the time come, and the Bible tells us that this lasted about 3 to 3.5 years where there was no rain, and then the time came for it to rain again. And Elijah instructed a man by the name of Obadiah to, you know, he met up with Elijah, and Elijah instructed him to go and tell Ahab that he was going to come and see him. And Obadiah feared in this because, you know, he told Elijah, well, I'm going to go tell this wicked king that what you've said, and then as soon as I leave, the Spirit of God's going to lead you somewhere else, and you're not going to be there, and Ahab's going to slay me because of that. And Elijah assured Obadiah, he said, you know, you go and you do what I'm asking you of you, and I will certainly show myself to Ahab. And he did that very thing. And in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, I'm going to begin reading there at verse 7 and read what I was just talking about. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab this day. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And so here we have, we're up to the time when Elijah is going to fulfill this promise that he made to Obadiah to meet with this wicked king Ahab. And once again, I want you to think about the situation here. The great contrast that existed between these two men. One of them was extremely evil, and the other was a very godly man. And so, in the 17th verse this is a very interesting question that Ahab asked Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, you know, we know from the things that we read in the Bible, we know that how that God, you know, we have many situations in the Bible, how that when someone would provoke God to anger, that his wrath would be up on them. And when a nation would turn against God and provoke the Lord to anger, God would punish them and pass judgment up on them. And so here we have this man who, you know, the doings of Ahab were really the problem. You know, the evil, his evil kingship was really what was causing Israel the trouble. But yet he says, he asked this righteous man, are you the one that's troubling Israel? And it seems to me like that this is the attitude that's so prevalent in our nation today, is that it seems like that those who, you know, want to do all sorts of evil, those who, you know, don't want to even retain God in their knowledge, they don't want to acknowledge God, they don't want to acknowledge God's Word and what God's Word says about the way that we should live and conduct our lives. They want to do whatever that they want to do, no matter how evil that it is, they want to do that. But then those who oppose that, those who want to stand up for what is right, are looked at as the ones that are causing trouble. And so, you know, that seems to be more and more the attitude in the nation that we live in today. If you want to stand up for God and you want to stand up for His Word, then you're guilty of hatred. You know, you're guilty of hating people. You know, you should be charged with a hate crime and all of these things. And it's as if the wicked people are looking at those who are trying to, you know, live a righteous life and saying, well, you know, look at all the trouble that you're causing. But listen, Elijah wasn't the one causing the trouble for Israel, and neither are those today who are trying to live for the Lord. They're not the ones causing trouble. You know, the problems that come up on a nation or come up on any people come from those who are so set to do wicked. And so Ahab, in his warped mind, he just had everything backwards. 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. Right there it is. And thou hast followed Balaam. Now, remember, this is the king of Israel that Elijah is saying these things to. So he's basically saying that it's Israel that is troubling Israel. It's Ahab and it's the people of Israel that are bringing the trouble upon themselves. It's not me. Elijah said, it's not me that's brought this trouble. It's you, it's your father's house. You've forsaken the commandments of the Lord. You've followed Balaam. You've gone after a false god. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, which and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And then Elijah had a question in the next verse. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Listen, as far as I'm concerned, and I certainly believe that the scriptures will back this up, and I believe that God will stand with me in this. As far as I'm concerned, you either serve God or you don't. There's not any room for straddling the fence. You know, and that's what Elijah was saying to the people here. He really was saying the same thing that we find recorded. Turn, if you would, to the book of Joshua, in the 24th chapter of Joshua, in verse 15, Joshua said to the people, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, you know, the choice must be made. Will you serve God or will you not? Joshua is challenging them to make that choice. Choose who you're going to serve. If you're not going to serve God, if it seems evil to you to serve the true God, then go serve those other, false prophets. But Israel, here in the situation that Elijah was talking about when he asked this question, Israel obviously they were trying to straddle the fence. They evidently were trying to do both. Because his question was, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Now that's exactly what I believe people ought to do today. If they believe that the Lord is God, then follow him. Follow him. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if you believe that he's God, why would you not follow him? But if you don't believe that, then follow. He said, but if you believe Baal's God, then follow him. And I believe it's still necessary today for people to choose who they're going to serve. I believe that, you know, as people of God, we ought to choose who we're really going to serve, because we cannot serve God and the world. Jesus said, you cannot do that. No man can serve two masters, because he's going to hate the one and cling to the other. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And truly, when a person is halted between the two, when a person is stuck between the two and trying to serve God on one hand and trying to, live worldly and serve worldly things, on the other hand, really they're not being successful in serving anybody or anything. You just cannot do it. Remember those that we read about in the Bible that came to Jesus and told him how they wanted to live for him and how they wanted to follow him and how they wanted to serve him. But remember reading those things? Well, you know, I want to follow you, Lord, wherever you go, but I want to do this too. You know, let me do this also. Let me go do this first. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go, but first let me go and bury my father. The Bible doesn't really tell us that the man's father was even dead yet. But let me go and tend to this family thing first. And so, You know, the choice has got to be made. So he issued a challenge. I'll tell you what, we need the faith of Elijah. We really do. We need to put the confidence and the trust in the Lord that Elijah did, because here he was in a time when there was a wicked king that wouldn't have had any problem at all slaying him. And the people were, halted there between the two opinions of God and Baal. And so Elijah steps up and he issues a challenge. He just, basically said, I'm going to show you who God really is. Now, you won't find anywhere in the Bible when Elijah told these false prophets what he wanted them to do, you won't find anywhere in the Bible where God had come to him and made any kind of promise to him. I'm telling you, Elijah stepped out on faith. He placed his faith in God that God would show who he was. He said, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. Let's get set up here with two to make two burnt offerings. And ye call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. That's pretty bold, wasn't it? At this time, even though he wasn't, but Elijah, in his own mind, he thought he was the only one left that was serving God. Now, he wasn't. God had others reserved to him. He mentioned the fact that he had reserved 7,000 unto himself that had not bowed their knees to Baal. Elijah wasn't the only one serving God, but he believed that he was. When he challenged these false prophets, he believed that he was standing alone. And yet he issued this bold challenge to them, and he just said, you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God, and whoever answers, he'll be God. So they did. They took the bullock and they dressed it and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice that any that answered. Imagine that. This false god could not do a thing for them. Couldn't answer them. Couldn't hear their prayers. Couldn't answer their prayers. Could not send fire down from heaven and consume the sacrifice. They were worshiping him, but he could not do a thing for them. I'll tell you what, the world ain't going to do anything for us either, is it? And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. I read that and I can almost envision this prophet out there telling these silly people, well, maybe you better cry louder. He might be taking a nap. No answer. Got to the point that the Bible tells us they cut themselves with knives until blood gushed out upon them, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So it's Elijah's turn. So he repairs the altar. He digs a trench around it. You know, he tells them to fill it with water and fill it again and fill it again and soak that sacrifice. Just saturate it with water. Soak it down. They did. He prepared the offering. He put it in, put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid it on the wood, told him to fill the barrels of water. And he offers up his prayer to the Lord. It came to pass, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You know what God said when he answered Elijah's prayer? Elijah, I'm going to leave no doubt. I'm going to answer it in a way that there's not going to be room for any doubt. They're going to know today who the true and the living God is. And Elijah took those false prophets and he slew them. Now, you know what? I believe that God today, if we'll be bold enough in the Lord to stand for God in the face of no matter what, because you know, Elijah had to stand up for the Lord in the face of evil, in very evil surroundings and among very evil doings, and we need to do the same. But I'm convinced, aren't you convinced, that if we really stand for God and we really put our faith in the Lord, that he'll show himself today as much as he always has? I'm convinced of that. I believe God will still show himself to be the Lord. I believe he'll give us victory. No amens? You believe that God will give us victory if we stand up for the Lord? I do. I believe God's with his people as much as he's always been with his people, and he will still grant us victory whenever we stand for that which is right. We are God's people. Let me tell you something. When those false prophets of Baal, I don't care if there were hundreds of them, when they took on Elijah, they were messing around with the wrong guy, because he belonged to the Lord. He was doing God's bidding. He was doing God's work. And I'm going to tell you, even one person that's truly of God, even one person with God standing with that person is a majority. Even one person is a majority. So, think about that. Go and study. There's some wonderful practical lessons to be found in the life of Elijah and the faith that he placed in the Lord. I appreciate your attention. I'm going to let Brother Jackson come and say what he has on his heart tonight.